It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is the Talking Tactics Podcast. My name is Daniel.
It's the Kid Double H.
We record the podcast, or at least we're supposed to, every Tuesday. You guys hear it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, somewhere around there. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, if you care. Or Meta, is it? X and Meta.
Oh, please.
You can follow on X, Meta, and Instagram. At least Instagram hasn't changed their name. Have Hope, where can people find you online?
HaveHopeFootballHot.com, baby.
Indeed. Carl is at The Athletic. Check his workout over there. Yeah. So if you want to support the podcast, check us out on Patreon. Actually, let's do it like this. If you're on an Android phone or an Android device, probably check out Patreon. You can link that with your Spotify. If you're on Apple, you can now support the show with a subscription. It's $3 in both places. You get access to a back catalog of podcasts that we've done for 2019, 2020. I spent all weekend uploading audio. Like, every episode of everything that we've ever done.
Okay.
To make sure that there's an ad-free version. And then the extra podcasts that we've done for years at this point. I made sure all of those are on Apple. So you can go check out what we thought when particular, like, bro, there's so much stuff. There's Eminem conversations. Like, we've talked about everything. Basically, everything we talk about is a remixed version of something
we've already talked about.
But there's so much stuff. There's like 140 podcasts, and there's maybe 20 or 30 more that I need to figure out what to do. So for my money, like, there's big bang for your buck, I think. Yeah. So please, if you can, sorry, I had to go off the mic to get a charger. If you can, support the show. You can subscribe for a year and save money, or you can subscribe for a month, but it would really help us and, you know, ensure that we keep doing the pod. Like, I don't want people to think like you're subscribing for benefits, although that's what it is. I'd really appreciate if people subscribed on the basis of, I want to help Have Hope, Daniel, Carl,
that's the idea. I mean, the psychology is, yeah, you want to give benefit, but the whole idea is, we're not freaking CNN or BBC or anything. We're just regular dudes. So you're just supporting grassroots stuff.
Exactly. So I would love if that was the intent or like the feeling in someone's heart, so to speak. It's like, I want to help Have Hope in Daniel. That they give us extra stuff is cool, but I'm just doing it to just show our appreciation for the show that they've been doing for time. So if you can and you have the means, go for it. I'm not telling you to steal money out your mom's purse or anything like that. So but anyway,
your mom will never know.
I mean, I think your mom might notice, like, hey, where'd that $30 go? Either way, let's get to the show. So normally we try not to start with Chelsea, but we're starting with Chelsea today because things must be discussed.
So are we doing a 10-minute cap or a 15-minute cap?
If there must be a time limit, I'll put 15 minutes.
Because United is also a pretty big thing as well.
Like, I will put 15 minutes. I need to turn my phone on, but I'll put 15 minutes.
Okay.
We can start now. This will be a grace period. So go ahead. Like, what are your thoughts on Chelsea at the moment?
Oh, no, it's very simple. It's like Chelsea running an orphanage. And I wish I would have been told beforehand that I was investing in an orphanage. Like, it's an orphanage. Because spending money doesn't equal success in football. So guys are like, man, how can you spend $1 billion and then this is what you get? But it's like, no. It's whatever you spend the money on. This is the thing that just fascinates me. Greater minds and more experienced minds in this sport of football have never done what Chelsea are doing. So you've come from baseball, you have a zero experience in football, and you think that you know more than Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man United, all of these great institutions of football that have existed for a long time. They have never done your recruitment policy.
Can I interrupt you just quickly?
Okay.
They're not even copying Manchester City. That would be a more apropos. I don't need you to copy the legacy clubs. You don't need to copy United and Ajax. If you want to revolutionize a club quickly and do it properly, the biggest club in the world right now might have an idea. I can see they're taking bits and pieces where they're trying to, you know, buy clubs. Like they bought Strasbourg in France and they're looking in Brazil and stuff. But if you want the nuts and bolts of how City have done it, it's you hire Pep Guardiola, you hire someone that the manager trusts, and you build the team correctly. You don't hyper do it in some crazy sense where you're spending $1 billion in a year. Like, you can spend $1 billion, you have to, but not in 12 months. But go ahead.
Yeah, look, there are two big red flags. And those red flags are Wivel and Nagelsmann. Those are the big red flags. So we look at Nagelsmann. He was ready to go. He was right there, boom, ready to go. Now, he's now set to be the Germany manager, which I think is a horrible idea. But put that to one side.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that.
Like, no, he was ready to go. He was ready to pop off. And he stepped away because Chelsea were dragging their legs. Chelsea were like, oh, we don't look at other candidates. Nagelsmann was, no, I'm here. This is my CV. This is my resume. I have just come from Bayern. Why are you not hiring me? So the fact that, because I remember when I went to Stamford Bridge and I was interviewing fans, and the whole thing was Enrique, Nagelsmann. And I was just, because that's what we thought the choice was. Okay, Potter didn't work out. You want someone experienced who's won something, someone with a bit of cachet. So do you go with the treble winner, Luis Enrique, or do you go with the new up-and-coming dude of Nagelsmann? No, at no time on my bingo card did I have Pochettino. But then, when you see Pochettino being hired, you're like, okay, oh, I get what this is about. It's a certain agenda you want, and you want a yes man for that agenda. Wivel, you hired him, and you let him go after 7 months. And when you look into it, it's like, Wivel and Chelsea obviously do not see eye to eye with recruitment, because these guys, that is why people should be alarmed. You see, for some Chelsea fans, they just feel a need to support everything Chelsea because these are just those cheerleaders. Those are just those tribal fans. Because if you take a step back, you're like, wait, hang on. How do you build a team of only young players? Like, anybody with half a brain knows that football is a game of experience, which is why what Pele did was such a big deal. Which is why what Mbappe did was such a big deal. Because this is a game where no matter how talented you are, if you've got years into the game, there are little tricks, little things that you know within the context of the game that gives you an edge to win. So a bunch of average to good 25 to 30-year-old players, more times than not, will beat a bunch of 19, 20-year-olds who are excellent. Because no matter how good they are, and they may be the most talented in the world, with your lack of experience and no experienced players within your team, more times than not, you will lose to the inferior experienced players. You know? So, but then again, you're looking at what the reality is here. This is not built to win, to go for trophies. This is, you just want a youth project. So let me give you an example. So I've got a mansion.
Okay.
And it's pool, jacuzzi, everything is amazing there. And you see, this mansion, I uphold it for a community. So this mansion, now I have a separate house, but I have set up this mansion for like this community for people to come in and use, so they can use the pool, they can use everything there. And that's how I run the mansion. Now, I get done for something. I run into some legal issues. Okay, I've got to step away from this mansion. But it must continue because it must continue serving the community. So I now give it to someone else. And when they come in, maybe because they feel that I was such a bad person, maybe because they feel like they don't want to do it the only way, you rip out everything. You take away the pool. You take away the cinema room, pool table. You take away the basketball court. You take away the football pitch. And you just put in like a science room. You put in like a library. and you put in like a gym. And the community members come in and say, wait, Hanwei, where's the basketball court? Where's the football pitch? Where's the where's the games room? Where's the PS5? Where's the Xbox? Because you've just decided just to change it. And you say to yourself that, why? Why would you? Like, we grew used to and liked how it was. Now, you could take away the basketball court, but leave the football pitch. You could take away the pool, leave the video games room. You took everything away and just put your own stuff in there. And it's no longer a mansion. It's like some kind of weird lodge. And the whole entire vibe of this place that the community got used to has totally changed from a mansion mm-hmm. with really cool stuff to a lodge with a bunch of boring stuff. So that's the
hold
thing.
Hold on. Okay.
Yeah.
In this example,
mm.
it's not the same standard either. So yeah. you're replacing, so let's say you don't like basketball, but you like tennis.
Hmm.
So you rip up the basketball court and you make a tennis court. At least make the tennis court good.
Yeah.
Like, don't just put in just any net, any court. Like, so it's not just that you've changed it. It's what have you changed it into and what quality have you brought? So if you want to get rid of Marina Granovskaya, Peter Cech, Thomas Tuchel, everything that reminds you of Roman Abramovich, I'm surprised they haven't changed the logo yet.
Yeah.
Or the emblem yet. It's coming. Yeah. I don't know when, sure. but it's coming. If you want to remove all of that, cool. But at least make it dope. Don't just do anything. That's my biggest problem. Is I think they thought they had a plan. And I think they think they're executing it. But whatever they're thinking of is trash. It's just trash. And then once you sack Potter, there is no plan now. They could have made the argument. I've said this from the very beginning. You could make the argument that once you sack Potter or once you hire Potter, we have a plan. Everything is under control. But once your plan goes and you bring in Lampard, everything these people do from now on is fly by night, fly by seat of their pants. Mm. It's a complete guess. It's a guess. On top of that, you've removed all the football people that were in a successful or near six, like a Champions League winning side 12 or 13 months prior to when you bought the thing. You've removed them. For all the criticisms that we had of Granovskaya and those guys, she was named like the director of the year in Europe. I don't know if that was just some formality or whatever, but like, it's not nothing. And this goes deeper to the inside of the Abramovich era, where why would you let Imanolo go and all these different types of things? But every move they've made has been questionable. You talk about experience. They're kids. And then there's Thiago Silva. There's no middle ground. Thiago Silva turns 39 in 2 days. He's 40.
Yeah.
Now, 40 is young relative to like the world. But in football years, he's... You know how they give like cats, like my cat in cat years or my dog in dog years? Thiago Silva in football years is 103.
Yeah.
He's done.
He's
not done. He's near finished.
No, wait. Is he the oldest? Is he the only elderly dude in the whole of the club now?
The longest serving player, I think, is
Rui. So who is the next oldest after him? Is it Sterling?
Yes.
How old is Sterling?
I will look it up. But like, there's no middle. Like, they let go Kante. Kovacic, Jorginho,
Koulibaly.
They let go of Azpilicueta, which I understood at the time. Yeah. Like, every player within a certain age range, even players like Loftus-Cheek, who are reaching that 26, 27, yeah. Pulisic, 26, like, they let them all go. So it's children and Thiago Silva. It's, you know, it's Rafael, Donatello, Michelangelo, Leonardo, and Master Splinter. That's what it is.
But okay, why do you look up the ages? Let me just cook a little. So my thing is, you're bringing in young players, how you blend in young players is you blend them in with older players. Because look at Real Madrid. Real Madrid is a perfect example. So Modric and Kroos are there primarily because of Jude Bellingham, Camavinga, and Tchouameni. Because you need to be around those guys who they've won that UCL, they've won those trophies, they've won all of those things, and you're trying to just coax them in, just really to get them to understand what it means to really be part of this club and teach them a few things based off of your experience. But these guys, they don't want that. They want to make Brighton 2.0. So
why didn't they just buy Brighton? I don't get it. Just buy Brighton.
Oh, no, they bought but all Chelsea their team, is, they bought sexier, their manager just Chelsea by is Brighton. Sexier, though. So, but see, that's the annoying thing is like...
I got the ages, by the way, if you
okay, want yeah, to. Okay, go for the ages. What are the ages?
Okay, so Palmer, 21. Broja, 22. Actually, you know what? I'll just go with players that they've bought.
Yeah.
Palmer, 21. Nkuku, 25. So that's one.
Yeah.
Jackson, 22. Madueke, 21. Mudryk, 22. They bought Sterling. He's 28. So that's the most senior player. That's not Thiago Silva.
Yeah.
Lavia, 19. Caicedo, 21. Chukwuemeka, 19. Ugo Chukwu, 19. Enzo, 22. Fofana, 22. Gusto, 20.
What?
James is 23. Chilwell's 26. So that's worth noting.
Yeah.
But Diashile, 22. De Sassi and Cucurella are 25. And so is Sanchez.
Wait. How old is Conor Gallagher?
They didn't buy him. Conor Gallagher's 23.
Symbolism.
Are no players who are 26, 27. There's one 28-year-old. Nobody's 29. No 30-year-olds. No 31, no 32.
Wait, pause.
To 38.
Let's talk symbolism. They've erased an entire decade, bro. Let's talk symbolism now. So, Conor Gallagher is 23. So, what is a 23-year-old Conor Gallagher doing with the captain's armband when Tech Silva's on the pitch? Because you have to read deeper into that. You have to read deeper into that because this just shows you that how much of a mess things are. Pochettino did that for a reason. And maybe not Pochettino, maybe the higher-ups, because... Again, this goes back to Modric. These guys are, how can we get the fans, the hardcore fans on our side? We know we're doing stuff that's stupid, that's dumb. Hey, Lampard's a legend. Let's bring him back. Hey, Modric is trending on Twitter. Arsenal wants him. Let's get him off Arsenal. Hey,
yeah.
Conor Gallagher, they were really angry with how Mason Mount got left and how he sold him. They really love Conor Gallagher. Hey, let's make him captain. And which is why these guys, you're not slick, bro.
Bully. They're so unslick.
You're from Hollywood. I know Hollywood. You're playing to the crowd. You're playing to the audience. So by making Conor Gallagher the captain, you're not trying to win brownie points off of those guys. But nature, I love how the world works and how nature works. Because nature will always be a B-A-S-T-A-R-D if you try to be a prick to it. Oh, you're going to make him captain? Cool. Oh, you're going to make Enzo a number 10 stroke, left-sided, weird midfielder who doesn't know where he's on the pitch, and Conor Gallagher is doing the Enzo job of collecting the ball from the defense? Cool. Okay. We're now going to make you draw 0-0.
So
that goodwill of Conor Gallagher, that's out the window. No one is talking about him being captain. People are saying, oh, 5 points, 14th.
So let's end here because there's 25 seconds. So we're going to go over time and don't mind the alarm when it goes off in a bit. The title of this episode, which I had from yesterday, is Chelsea's Constipation.
Ew.
And the reason I say that is because the attack is not, it's not functional. There's nothing coming from it. And you could juxtapose this idea with what Felix is doing for Barcelona. Who in their infinite wisdom decided that in a team that doesn't have a natural number 10, you might try to shoehorn Enzo there. You might try to shoehorn Gallagher there. You might even try to shoehorn players like Madsen or even Nkunku when he comes back. Maybe they'll try to figure out a number 10. But there's no natural gifted attacking midfielder in the team. Not really. And you had one and you decided loan's not worth it. Now, if you look at a player like Jackson, for instance, we can have discussions about his technical ability, how he looks like, you know, Bambi on ice sometimes, types of things like this. But Manchester City yesterday in the Champions League, they had, I think, 37 shots on goal, 16 of which on target. The factor that best determines whether or not a player will score is not actually goals. The best factor you can look at is how many chances does this team create for their striker? If Chelsea don't have an attack that functions, whether by system or by individual talent, either way, I don't care if it's all on a player like Yao Felix or if it was all on a player like Eden Hazard, if it was all on a player like Zola, fine. You can do it that way. You just need an exceptional talent. Maybe Felix isn't to that level, but you need someone like him. Or it could be completely down to the system. So I wouldn't say that Manchester City have a talent as good on the ball as Eden Hazard. They don't. But what they have is a system to where every player contributes to the attacking thrust of the team, which then generates chances. And then you have a freak like Haaland who can finish off a high percentage. But even if you didn't, you could put any striker there and the volume of chances would necessitate or demand that they score. Chelsea lack both. There's no system by which I'm seeing a functioning attack. Not to mention, he's gone with a back five, so you've already eliminated one person in the attack who could help a striker like Jackson to facilitate chances, because you need to give him as many chances as you can, clearly. He's not a one chance and it's done. People putting like Nkunku as if he's Jesus Christ, like when he resurrects, he's going to save the team. I mean, I feel like that's a bit too much pressure on one player.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's that good in order to just create his own goals in that sense. So there's a lack of individual talent to score goals. And then the system doesn't work either. So how do you fix this? I don't know if Pochettino has the managerial chops to fix this in time. And that's what I'm worried about. Because this group has already sacked Potter, there's no rules. They can do whatever they want.
Mm.
Pochettino's already like kind of giving excuses.
Yeah.
Worrying excuses. Like we'll get into Ten Hag and Ten Hag's excuses. But Pochettino's only been here for like a month or two.
Mm.
So he shouldn't really be saying some of this stuff of like, it was... We should have been up, but we were this, we were that. It's like, bro, it's Bournemouth. Like, it's Bournemouth. I don't care about any of what you think we should have been or what. It's Bournemouth. So, I don't know how you look. Like, we could talk about the higher ups and the board, but just what's on the pitch, the nuts and bolts of the players, and Pochettino's managerial setup for a man who I thought was a 4-2-3-1 guy. It seems as if he's betraying his own principles, but it's not helping the team at all. Now, maybe he doesn't have a number 10 and he knows it, so I have to come up with something. But yeah, Chelsea are impotent, constipated, just struggling. And as someone who I've tried not to care about the team, but I mean, I don't think there's ever going to be a moment where I just care zero.
No way.
It's hard. It's difficult to participate in. I'm glad they're not in Champions League. I'm glad they're not in Europa League. I don't want to watch them. And it's difficult to watch them. So I don't know what you think, but yeah.
No. Let's move.
All right. So we could, from there, we could go into United or we could go to Barca, whichever segue you feel.
No. Hag is a great segue because you made a point of excuses. Pochettino, you said it beautifully. You just got here. I don't want to hear anything about any excuses because you have none excuses. Because quickly, I'll use that, then I'll segue through. Nkunku was injured before the season started. You had a good 2 to 3 weeks to get a replacement, and you got City's sloppy seconds, side chick to the side chick to the side chick to that side chick to that friend of that side chick called Cole Palmer. No excuses.
Wow. You know he's black, by the way, so just chill.
And we are, but which is wild, man. And what's it called? I'm sorry. For guys who are saying Ten Hag are stupid, Ten Hag has legitimate excuses. Greenwood was not his fault. Anstey was not his fault. And in my view, and his handling of his affairs, Sancho wasn't his fault. So those are three first-team guys who are now out through no fault of your own. Back to back to back. And also, you also had to deal with the whole Cristiano situation, deal with the whole Maguire situation. That is a lot more than the great and almighty second coming of Henri and Zidane, Christopher Nkunku, being injured. Okay. So for Ten Hag, I'm sorry, like, because my thing is Ten Hag has credit in the bank. He has credit in the bank. So let's be balanced with Ten Hag. So let's talk about his credit and let's talk about his criticism. Here's his credit. Third and a trophy coming off of United's worst points total, I think, in Premier League history. That's a dub. So Ten Hag, I think, slightly overachieved for United. Now, in the grander scheme of things, it's United. That's not overachieving. But in the context of 2022 and where United have been post-Oli, post-Ragnick, he overachieved.
Mm.
The issue with Ten Hag here is this. Okay, let me deal with Ten Hag out. So if you're Ten Hag out, you have to... What's your mind frame? If you're of the Abramovich mind frame, sack Ten Hag now. Sack Ten Hag, and the manager that comes in, you must tell him that, can you win with these players? That's the Abramovich mindset. If you're not the Abramovich mindset, and you want to build something, it would be stupid to sack him. It would make no sense. You've got to ride it out. Nagelsmann is already spoken for, and there's literally no manager out there that can do a job of trying to build the team. Because if you're not in a Abramovich mode and you're in build mode, you have to give Ten Hag time. Because if you sack him and bring someone in new, that's now pieces of Ole, pieces of Ragnick, and pieces of Ten Hag. It's a mess. So you have to ride it out and see it through. So, but my issue with Ten Hag is this though. Weren't he brought here to do the whole Ajax thing? And are you saying that whole Ajax thing hinged on Frank de Jong? Fine, you didn't get Frank de Jong. There was nobody in the whole of planet Earth that could do a similar job to Frank de Jong. Because I think for Ten Hag, why I think the issue was the guise of United, I think, put pressure upon him. So he felt he had to get. You see, you could either philosophy or get. United tries to do get with Mourinho. Only got them so far. Tottenham tried to do good and they got shot down with a double barrel shotgun of Mourinho and Conte. So, for Ten Hag, my advice is build your team. Win, lose, or draw, just build your team and get players that fit into philosophy. Now, the issue, I will speak to United fans, no director of football, his talent ID is bad. You don't leave talent ID down to the manager. The manager has an idea and then he then gives it to the experts. Again, how any business works is delegation. Delegation is the key to success. So you have to delegate to experts who are experts at scouting and experts at talent ID. So he delegated to Van der Sar and Marc Overmars at Ajax because Overmars and Van der Sar, they specialized in finding those talents to fit in for Ten Hag. Ten Hag, no, that's not your job. Give the job to those guys who they specialize in that, because what's it called? Jack of all trades, master of none. Be a master of what you are good at and let guys be a master of what they're good at. Because I think people's issues at United is, if you're losing badly, but you can see something here, you're like, okay, we'll take these beatings, but we're building towards something. But if you're losing and getting colonized and lubricated, but you're playing caveman football, that's an issue. Because remember, for Arteta, seventh, eighth. And I was one of those guys that said, like, nah, Arteta, man, is this guy right? But slowly and slowly, one player here, one player here, one player. And now they now look like a team who can actually try and win a Premier League. So I think if I was advising Ten Hag, I would say, don't feel the pressure of United. Don't feel the pressure of Fergie. Fergie was the best and worst thing that happened to United, because his ridiculous success puts pressure on Moyes, Van Gaal, Mourinho. Last thing, and I'll kick it to you. Say it again. You see, this is difficult. Moyes deserved a summer. He deserved it.
Yeah.
But here's the key thing. 2013 and 2022 is different. If United could have seen where they were at in 2022, 1,000% they would have given Moyes a summer. But remember, let's put our minds back to 2013 and what United
standards
were.
Are way different.
Standards. Yeah. So it was a panic. They were like, "Oh, sack." But I remember at that time I was like, "I know it's crazy, but bro, he is the first dude straight after arguably one of the greatest managers of all time." So there's going to be a shock to the system. And I know it's bad. Just give him a summer and re-up. But they panicked, got someone new, and it just started a spitballing snowball effect.
To that point, like, knowing what we know now, everything is more clear. But at the time, they had just won the league, I think, by 10 points. And the standards that Manchester United fans had 10 years ago is vastly different to the standards that they have now, at least in the immediacy. Like, obviously, we want to win the league. We want to compete in the Champions League. Like, those are the kind of talking points that anybody would have. But in the moment, like, when it's real, what we should be doing right now is not a project in 2013. Like, we have to win. And I think just the reality of that was just too visceral based on the manager they just had. To your Ajax point, I do think Ten Hag has tried. I think they've gone to the Ajax well 4 times, maybe 5. Did Weghorst, was he a Ajax guy?
No,
he wasn't Ajax, but Onana was or is. Eriksen is. Martinez and Anthony. Those are Ajax guys. Like, he got at least those guys. But when you say, like, the Abramovich way in that sense, the Abramovich way is an interesting one.
Go for it. So when you're working with your scouts and everything, it's a conversation. So it's not as easy as just getting an Ajax guy. So let's say you were working with a scout or a director of football, and you now said, okay, I want to bring in Anthony. He might say, I'm looking at Bruno McTominay. I don't think this will work. Yo, let me cook for a minute. Let me go to South America or Asia, because I think I have a better fit for what you have. So there's the lack of that conversation, because a player that works in Ajax may not necessarily work in United. Ultimate team. It's about getting those green bars. You know, the bars are red. So Anthony, Lisandro, they work because of the players that surround them. We say it with Ziyech. Ziyech worked so well because of what he was surrounded with at Ajax. But when he now came to Chelsea, those same pieces messed up the vibe of his game. So yeah.
And there's a different level of Eredivisie football to the Premier League. There's no guarantee that because someone looks good in Holland that they're gonna go to England or France or Spain or any other country. They can go to Belgium. It just might not click in the same way. And Ajax is a team of a particular level that their their players are better than the other teams. So at Manchester United, that's not necessarily the case. No. Yeah, on paper, it might seem that way. If you compare their 11 with the Brighton 11, most people who are footballing people would look at the United team and see Casemiro, they'd see Bruno Fernandes, they'd see Rashford, and they think, hey, like that seems like a pretty good team compared to Danny Welbeck and Adam Lallana. Uh-huh. But once you put the De Zerbi sauce in there and the Brighton functionality of the team, Matoma, these different players, Brighton are a better collective team. As you say, like the bars are green, the connections are there in a way that for even though there's some continuity between particular players, I mean, it at United, it doesn't make sense. I mean, you buy Andre Onana probably and primarily because that he has a relationship with Ten Hag. And if I look up just quickly the starting 11 of the game, which I've forgotten, their two starting center backs are Lindelof and Martinez, and their fullbacks are Dalot and Reguilon.
Mm.
I mean, the amount of times Onana, instead of trying to pass it to Lindelof, is just like, forgive me cussing, fuck it. And he just pings a ball to Rashford, Or Hoyland.
Yeah, I'm still learning how to pronounce his name. Hoyland.
Or you have McTominay for whatever reason playing wide right. He's 6'4", so I might as well just punt one up there because my center backs don't really want the ball like that. Mm. It's a confusing idea. Now Onana is a good piece that in a functioning team, maybe in Ten Hag's ideal system, works, but I don't know if he works right now. And I'm not saying he's supposed to or he has to right now. But you don't want the well to be poisoned to where people are like, oh, he's trash. Why did we sell De Gea and all these different types of or let De Gea go? Who I don't even know if he has a team at the moment.
No. Neither does Dr. Hazard, by the way. So
shit happens. Shit happens. We could talk about, you know, we got a review on Apple that says, these guys talk about Chelsea and United too much.
Okay.
So, but I mean, looking at what we expect from these two clubs, for them to be firmly mid-table is kind of shocking.
They have to be in the news.
It's not just their position. It's their position, like the price per point is wild.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that's a stat. Maybe I could make it up. But Chelsea's price per point is wretched. Tell me if I'm wrong. They've won 5 games in the calendar year in the league.
Yeah. I think
from January 1st to today, they've won 5
and 36
games.
Or 6 and it's a
the only game they won this year was against Luton.
Yeah.
In the Premier League. I think.
Madness.
That's a disgrace. I mean, there's no other way to put it. So I would love to talk more about Brighton. I guess we could, but they're the team that's really worth discussing. Shout out to Welbeck, by the way, man. He plays well against his old teams, you know.
Go Barca. For it.
Where do you want to go?
Yeah, Barca.
Barcelona. Hey, man. They're playing well. Bro. To where Carl's Champions League pick doesn't look as nutty. Like, it's still kind of crazy, but
it's still crazy. But no. But you know what? Here's my thing. My thing is, I'm so happy for Felix. I'm not one of those treble fans who...
I just want to see the ballers be happy, man.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
You see, my thing is that, I'm not one of those guys where, okay, once a guy leaves my club, you're no longer... No. Here's the thing. So, I have an announcement to make, and... I made it before, but I'm going to make it for the Talking Tactics audience. So I have officially disbanded Ousmane Dembele FC. So I've shut down this is a warning. Do not go to the building. The gates are shut. Lights have been turned out.
He didn't look that bad yesterday.
Heating has been turned off, and I've given the keys to the landlord. So you've been warned. Anybody... Go in there thinking that there's going to be a meeting.
You should sell the building to Dr. Umar, bro.
Yeah. No. I've already been on the phone to me already. I say, yo, doc, I've got a building. Nice space, everything. Take it. So.
Don't. I'm joking.
Okay. Okay, no. My thing is,
where's the school?
I'm so happy about João Félix because I got attacked for it. I was like, he passed the eye test. He has Teshnik, Lala, Schwamleck. And I feel the issue here is he's in the wrong environment. Atleti, wrong environment. Chelsea, wrong environment. Well, it's his fault. Well, you keep defending him. I said, no. Put him in the right environment. He can cook. He can say, what's up?
And this is a very important point.
He's in Barcelona right now. Same wavelength. Good surroundings, and they're speaking the same footballing language. Like, you see, the thing about football is this. You're not going to walk everywhere. The great Messi, the guy that people call the GOAT, the self-professed GOAT, Messi, bro, he flopped at PSG. Now, you can say it was this, it was that, blah, blah. He flopped at PSG.
Flop is a bit harsh.
For someone of his standards, he flopped.
He didn't thrive, but that was more our expectation of what we thought France was versus what Messi was. Okay. He was okay.
I know.
The first year wasn't great, but like the second year was really good.
E equals MC squared, ergo, he flopped. So, he flopped at PSG because Okay, yeah, fine. These are my own, sponsored by Talking Tactics. So, my thing here is, different system, different strategy, different environment, these things happen. It happens to the best of us. Riquelme did work at Barcelona, and I consider Riquelme one of the best midfield minds of all time. We talk about those bomb-ass clowns in blue in West London. Félix, you could do with Félix right now. Because I would rather have Félix be my creator than Conor Gallagher. That's just me. Okay. That's just me. Again,
that's almost stupid to say. That's like, Daniel. Duh.
Different strokes for different folks. People may want, but just for me, for half hope, I'd rather have my Geppetto.
You're out there, bro.
And my puppeteer, Félix. Okay. Yeah, but I love Félix. So no, but I think look, see, here's the thing for Barcelona. League, they're fine. They're cool, and they could easily go back to back. The problem with the Champions League is Xavi. They have the talent to make a run. To win, let's just chill. But they have it. Because what you always find in the UCL, whether it's Leipzig one time, Inter one time, there's always that one audible that comes into that party of four. In that party of four, there's how did you get here? Like, what the hell? Who let you in? There's always that one audible who sticks past the bouncer into that final four party.
Mm.
And I think for Barcelona, they top their group, good thing. The talent is there, but the issue though is Xavi is still inexperienced. And I feel that better managers and better tacticians could get the best of him. But like Lewandowski was saying that critical of like kind of the service he was receiving and says that, you know, it's an adjustment from Bayern Munich. Félix is a godsend for Lewandowski because this is a guy that not only can score, but this guy is a creator. He's a genuine creator. And when you look at that pass he gave to Lewandowski for the goal against Antwerp, it was huge. Now, here's the thing though. Greater test lie ahead. Bet is cool. The Twerps, cool. Shout out to the Twerps. But Clásico is in October. That game against Atleti is going to be huge. And if they get further in the UCL, now let's not see what they do against more stiffer competition. Because let's be real. Barca have still not made it through the groups since Messi left. Ferran Torres, who scored a free kick against Betis, that was the first free kick Barca had scored since Messi left. So, baby steps. Baby steps. But yeah, I think, look, man, it's, and also a key thing as well is, so in January, Vitor Roque is coming from Brazil. And that's pretty much the replacement for the geriatric Lewandowski, who, look, the guy, he's showing his age, bro. Like the guy, you have to give up the guy's slippers, bro. So.
And they're doing like the game yesterday, they didn't have Pedri.
Yeah.
So throw some Pedri into the mix. I don't know who in midfield he comes in for. Maybe Gavi.
Of course, Gavi. Or De Jong. Get Gavi the hell out of there, man. The hell.
It could be Gavi or De Jong either way, but probably. But yeah, there's a piece missing in the team for me to like be really confident about a Champions League. Actually, there's a couple pieces missing. I would say, like, Rafinha doesn't inspire me.
No.
So that side of the attack
Ferran is a Torres bit, is doing well, though. Ferran Torres is doing well, but he's not a big name, but he's doing well.
And for what it's worth, and maybe I'm poisoned by the Chelsea tree, but Christensen in defense, I know people think he's good, but just in big games, I don't even know if he'll play. So that's my only thing. I don't know. There's just something about him where I'm not confident. Like in the biggest moments, he'll wilt. But other than that, keeper's good. Back four solid. They got Gundogan. Hopefully he'll find his feet.
Yeah, good midfield. Very good midfield, yeah.
Add Pedri. You got De Jong. You can sprinkle Romelu some Gavi well in there if you want. Perhaps the answer to the Rafinha question is Yamal. But we'll see.
He's 16. Stop it, man. He's 16.
That's
stop
the
it
point. That, like, I don't want to put any pressure on a 16-year-old. And then the age of a footballer, as much as we might talk about, like, Thiago Silva, like, there is a place for the 39-year-old at Chelsea. Lewandowski's not that old. And what will never leave a footballer is the technique. So he might not be able to get into the space to execute his technique in the same way. But if again, someone like Felix or Gundogan or De Jong or Pedri can find you with the ball to where you don't, the minimal effort, maximum reward kind of deal, Lewandowski will finish chances. I'm confident he would have been able to finish that chance when he's 50 in like one of those charity games. By the way, Essien, did you see the during the international break?
There was I was on sympathy. Like yeah.
Essien executed like a great header. And I'm like, these guys don't lose it. Like, what they lose is the stamina, Rose, the ability to run.
The team. Daniel, just but, say it.
No, no, Daniel, no. They're better than the facts. Team. It's facts. And they did that without Lampard or Drogba, who could probably still play. but, like, just, I was impressed. Like, Zola did this thing where he, like, chipped over the, like, you don't lose the football brain and the technique if you're at a particular level. What you lose is the ability to run and recover in the same way. So Lewandowski would be, in the NFL, they call it like a spell back. So you have like your main running back and then you have like your spell guy.
Oh, yeah.
He could use a spell guy. He doesn't need to be playing 50 games in the season anymore. Plus, I don't know if he's retired from Poland, but whatever Poland duty he might be up to. So, but no, Barcelona are very intriguing in that sense. I said we would talk about Germany. So let's do that now.
Yeah.
Nagelsmann as Germany manager, if that comes to fruition, is so strange and peculiar. How do I word this without it seeming me harsh? You know what? I'm just going to be harsh. It seems beneath him.
Huh?
And I don't say that as I say that understanding that Germany is Germany. So being the manager of Germany should be something that's prestigious and sought for. Maybe if you're a German national like he is, it makes sense. If my country calls, then I must go. But as a 36-year-old manager who just managed at Bayern Munich, it seems beneath you to take any international job. Your skill set should be used in the club game. And I would think if you just wait a couple months, Chelsea might be open, United might be open. You never know, like these days, like any club could be open and maybe he's already had his chance and rejected it. You've managed Bayern. International management at 36? It's odd. I don't get it. Except the nationalist view of it's my country, I will serve. But like for your career, is it right to spend 2, 3, 4, 5 years managing two games every 2 months? Like, is
beyond that though. It's not even about
and you're not developing yourself in international management. There's not enough games, you're not working with players enough. There's no real development. Like I see international management as an experienced manager's game. Like once you're 60 or 50, 60, 70, then you go into that. But 36?
No, it was, see, this is what was.
He's 36.
Okay, I say this respectfully. Scaloni sells fruit. He sells fruit. The Argentina manager, he sells fruit. Mm. He's not a great manager. He ain't. Like, other United fans saying to me that, oh man, sack Ten Hag, bring in Zidane or Scaloni. I was like, huh? The thing about international management is, you have to understand, you see these guys 2 to 3 times a year. There is not enough time to implement a philosophy or an idea. You can't get cute with international management. Like, the whole point of international management is create a basic blueprint, and these individuals have to now cook. And the key skill for international management is motivation. It ain't tactics, it ain't strategy, it ain't a philosophy. It's man-to-man motivation, relationships, and a blueprint.
That is perfect, bro. That is perfect. That is exactly what I meant when I said it's beneath him. He's too good of a footballing mind to be stuck doing the man management and let's just play this way. Like, if he tries to implement a particular system, maybe he could, because most of the players he's picking are from Bayern Munich anyway. But it just feels like the skill set that you've worked on to be where you are at the age of 36 must mean you are an incredible footballing mind to a level. To spend that for the national team, unless he's just super German, I feel like it's a betrayal of whatever skills he's developed. You should be doing this day in, day out. You'll get bored.
No, but this is where Germany messed up. You should have kept Rudi Völler for these Euros, at least. Because what that victory over France showed, yes, it was a friendly. It was just take it back to basics. Because the thing, though, is people think club management and international management is the same thing. It ain't. They are totally different schools of thought. And both things don't blend. I don't think Pep Guardiola does well internationally. He doesn't. Unless somehow he finds a country that has his kinds of players. So,
for Spain, I think he might be able to do it.
Spain? But do Spain have maybe the particular kinds of players that they had back in 2010 or 2014? No. It's a different breed of players.
That's why I said might. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, maybe.
Yeah, it says might. So my thing, though, is Germany just needed an old school guy just to get these guys to being effective. Because here's the thing. It's if you have a defense of Süle and Schlotterbeck, then you know things are bad. Then you know things are bad because between both of them, that's Tweedledee and Tweedledum. So, again, there's no Boateng. There's no Lahm. There's no Hummels. You know, there's no Schweinsteiger. Like, the talent pool is pretty good, but it's also not so great. Like, offensively, apart from the striker, midfield and attacking midfield is good. Striker and defense are where they have major issues. And that's just what the talent pool ain't great. So, a Nagelsmann coming in who is young, still inexperienced, trying to implement something, it's going to fail. And bro, do we really want Germany not making it through the groups on home soil at the Euros?
I mean, I don't really care.
Ian.
can we get France to win? That's the only thing that they're missing. So I need Conte in the team, which might not happen. And I think that one probably left in 2016. But either way, is there any other story that you think might be worth talking about? I think I can think of one.
Wait, what's your one? Let's just do one last one before we jet off. What's yours?
The Spanish national team, the women, were effectively forced to end their holdout and go play a game. Have you heard about this?
Oh, no. Wait, what happened?
All right. So, actually, Carl would tell me to go to BBC and actually read the actual story. So, that's what I'm going to do. Spain players agree to end boycott before Nations League games. So most of the Spain team have agreed to end their boycott, says Secretary of State for Sports Victor Francos. The agreement was reached at 5 a.m. local time on Wednesday after more than 7 hours of meetings. Francos, I guess, said the Spanish Football Federation has committed to immediate and profound changes. Two of the 23 players named in the squad for this month's Nation League's games have left the squad. The rest of the players began the boycott after the RFEF president Luis Rubiales kissed forward Jenny Hermoso following Spain's triumph over England in the Women's World Cup. And it goes on to say whatever it says. But yeah, so they were, I think I saw a video where they were getting on the bus and they looked like people were happy that they saw them, but they didn't look happy to be there.
Mm.
And it was in that negotiation period where, you know, you're forced almost to, we want you to play, we need you to play, and we've done all of this, so then you got to play. But you haven't heard about it, so there's no point to have a discussion unless you have a quick thought about, have you ever been forced to play football? That's an interesting one.
Oh, well, I've been forced to play cricket and I wasn't happy. And and I missed Senegal against, I missed the Senegal.
Wait a minute, for like school, like the school team made you play cricket?
Yeah.
Damn, so you were that good?
No, I was trash.
Or they just needed a body.
No. They needed, no, bro, this is like the fourth or the fifth team. I was garbage. But these losers decided to say, oh, let's put out a team of people who don't play cricket. So yeah, I was forced to play rugby because I was fast and black. So that's all. I was forced because I was fast. So
I didn't like it at all. So. I've never played cricket in my life.
Yeah, you know, you're not missing much, bro. I mean, look, it's all right, but it can be dangerous, you know.
Dangerous?
Bro, do you know how hard that ball is? If that ball hits you, it could be lights out.
I have no idea, actually. Yeah. It's not rubbery? It's hard?
No, that thing is tough.
Damn.
Trust me. No, that's why, yeah, like the guy who catches has to wear a mask. If that thing hits you, can break every bone in your body.
So it's like a baseball.
Way harder than a baseball.
Harder than a baseball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been the Talking Tactics podcast. Mm-hmm. We end with cricket. Paul might be happy. Yeah. Remember to follow us on all the social media platforms. Where you are, I'm at Daniel Taluk. Have Hope. Where are you?
HaveFootballThoughts.com.
Mm-hmm. Links are in the description. I'm trying to think other sports that I've played, so like competitively. Really just basketball, man. Like football was more like a pastime thing. Like you just did it in the park or wherever.
Mm.
But the sport I never, ever, ever was tempted to even try was American football. Like, nah, that looks crazy. Like he's going to hit me and nothing happens. I just get up. Nah. So anyway, remember to subscribe to the pod,
sir,
if you can. If you're on maybe Android, maybe look at Patreon and all of that good stuff. And get more pods in your feed. So there you go. You know, last week we didn't say the tagline. So Talking Tactics podcast, sometimes funny,
sometimes serious.
That was a long pause, bro.
Oh, no. I thought you, because there's only two of us, I thought you say some friends, then I say always for football.
Do you know what? You are correct.
Yeah. See, I was waiting for you.
You were right. I was like, what happened? That's what it is. I've been listening to old pods where there's three of us and uploading audio. So, I don't know. My brain has made a mistake. Either way, Talking Tactics podcast. Sometimes funny. Sometimes serious.
Always footballer.
There we go. And it's been a while since I've had to say it. So there you go. We will see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.